Well, Frank Stronach has had a tremendous amount of success with his Adena Springs farm and his racing stable, and of course the Stronach group as well. He has also campaigned for winners of the historic Queen's Plate, including last year's victor, Holy Helena, and Frank is with us now on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Frank, when you hear the words Frank Stronach, four-time Queen's Plate winner, what are some of the things that come to mind?
Well, it doesn't matter how smart you are, how rich you are. You gotta have some luck. Without that, things won't function. But as you know, we had a great philosopher in Canada, a fellow called Stephen Leacock. One of his favorite sayings always was, "I'm a great believer in luck. The harder you work, the more luck you have."
What do you remember, Frank?
Yes, I put a lot of effort in. I put a lot of money in, and I put a lot of love in it.
What do you remember about that first Queen's Plate victory back in 1994 with Baskian?
Well, I was relative. I wasn't in that long yet, and what a coincidence. Baskian just died a few days ago, and we have down there, and we had him in our retirement section down in Florida, and he gets a stately funeral.
No, good for him. He should get a stately funeral.
Yes, stately funeral.
Good for him. You know, your second Queen's Plate victory would come 3 years later with the great Awesome Again, and then you had to wait 18 years for another Queen's Plate win with Shaman
yes.
Ghost. What makes this race so challenging to win, Frank?
Well, I've been so busy with so many other things, I did not maybe pay that close of attention. And then we breed more to distance horses, you know, they mature a little later. So, and we don't race our two-year-olds too much. They get two or three starts. And so you got to be relative fit, right? And in June or early July to race a mile and a quarter.
Talking with Frank Stronach here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Frank, allow me to walk through some of your accolades, if you don't mind. In Canada,
yes.
Adena Springs has won a total of 21 Sovereign Awards to go along with the 12 Eclipse Awards that you've won in the United States. When you first became involved in the thoroughbred business, gosh, I guess 3 or 4 decades ago, could you ever imagine where this journey would take you?
Well, you got to have hopes and dreams, you know, and you got to say a silent prayer. And, you know, there's no limitations to hopes and dreams. In knowledge, there's limitations, but you got to have hopes and dreams. And I think if you do the right thing over and over, if you try to be a good person, I think a good person's a little more lucky than others.
When you think back on everything that you've accomplished in the sport, what are
yes.
you most proud of?
Well, it's naturally when you read the Breeders' Cup Classic, which I won some, and I won the Preakness, I won the Belmont. I mean, those, and naturally the Queen's Plate, because the Queen's Plate is really, it's home, right? We are, we have a farm not too far away, and the staff goes there, and there is, so the Queen's Plate is always special.
You know,
but while I got you on the thing here, racing has, as you know, the handle about 30, 40 years ago was $15 billion. And now the handle has come down to about $11 billion. In today's dollars, that's a huge shrinkage. So I have a concern, and I'd like to get across what we have to do, that racing stays alive. You see, horses are really our closest connection to nature. You know, it's nice when a family makes an outing on a Sunday afternoon or morning and goes to a farm, sees the foals, sees the horses. And we got to change our model. We got to change our thinking. First, we got to have programs to get younger people to the racetrack. But the primary problem is we're squeezing out the small owners and the small trainers. That's the backbone.
What do we do as an industry to? Yeah, I am. What do we do as an industry?
That's the backbone. You know, those guys get up 7 days a week at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning to chase a dream. But the problem is, we ride so many big races. We need a few big races, but we got to look. I mean, 80-90% is claiming horses. And even though if you lay out 100,000 or 500,000, most of them wind up in claiming. So we got to have, and the smaller trainers, the smaller thing cannot afford those high priced horses.
Well,
so we
got to
make
point.
Sure at the racing program, yes, you know, usually the people which lay out a lot of money for a yearling, 500,000, sometimes a million, they have other businesses. They earn for different reasons.
Yep.
So the small ones, they want to, a big win or a great one win or whatever. It changes their lifestyle. It changes their family, their kids, and et cetera, et cetera. So we're squeezing them out. So we gotta be careful to that we leave enough. We gotta ride cheaper races, and it's the smaller trainers which have some friends or try to meet a businessman, a small one, and say, "Look, it's a lot of fun. Let's stay." They are our greatest ambassadors.
Yeah.
So Frank, I'm really concerned.
Let me take that one step further with you. And yep. Say, okay, if there are so many mom and pops that are supporting this industry, and I agree with you, I think that there are so many people that work hard every single day and
yes,
they don't get the
yes.
recognition they deserve. So by writing smaller, I'll say cheaper races, we get bigger fields. Bigger fields lead to bigger handle. Is there a correlation
yes.
there?
Yes, that's true. I mean, we still have... naturally, we cannot neglect the customer. The customers have more choices now to spend their entertainment dollar, casinos or whatever. So we got to make sure there's good food there. That's usually the food has always been. So we got to have good food there, and bigger fields. People like to bet on bigger fields, so the handle is bigger. But you got most of those racing boards and the owners, you got mainly owners there. They like to have 4, 5, and 6 horse fields to win a big allowance race.
Yep.
Okay, the horse community, you got to get, there's so many people which love horses and we squeeze out the smaller ones, huh?
Yeah. Yeah,
because whatever you do, in order to succeed, you have to be reasonable, smart, and work hard.
You know, Frank,
nowadays, look, this is to get up 7 days a week. That's a burden. They got to make a little better living.
You know, it's interesting when you think about what you've accomplished, and you know, quite honestly, Frank, I've watched you. Your career and everything that you've done and watched it closely, you've made it look very easy, but you touched on it earlier that all of that success is a product of hard work and determination. So was there ever a time for you that maybe this wasn't so easy?
Well, I didn't read the greens plate for quite a number of years naturally, my focus was I had some thriving businesses, and my thing, I focused on, I built up 2 businesses, which we are number one in the world, right? And car business, I think I changed maybe the way we built cars. Okay, we have what? We have now what, about 170,000 people. Imagine that.
Wow.
Okay. Matter of fact, I think I'm the only Canadian or one of the... I'd be inducted in the Auto Hall of Fame in Detroit in a couple of weeks or 3 weeks, right?
Well, congratulations.
Yeah. So, the key, my worries are we got to change the mindset, huh? Business people, there's a lot of business which love horses, but they got to realize, look, let's just aim for the stake races and... eventually, most of the horses wind up in claiming.
You know, we mentioned names like Baskian and Awesome Again earlier in the interview.
Yes.
There's been others that have been close to your heart. I know Ghost Zapper, for
example,
is another
you
one.
Mean Ghost Zapper, look, Bobby Frankel. Bobby Frankel never made too many comments, but he always remarked, that's the best horse he ever had. Look, he could sprint. He could go distance, he could go on the grass, he could go on the slop, he could go on barley.
Which is the horse that first put you on the map, Frank?
It's Glorious Song.
Yeah.
I remember, right, when we, like Jerry Belanger, boy, when we shipped out that filly to Santa Anita, she had a winter coat on, the odds were very high, and she won the Santa Margarita.
The
great one.
Wow. You know, this past year you were awarded a special Eclipse Award of Merit, and you mentioned that you have to be innovative if you want to be number one, and I think that describes you to a T. Is that how you look at yourself in the sport? Are you an innovator?
Well, you know, when you be in business, you have to think what you have to do to make a better product for a better price. With horses, it's more. Horses are living, you know, it's different. It's not like making a gearbox or a transmission. You put it in a warehouse. So there, the most important thing is that you have the right people. On my farm down in Florida, Christ, I have swimming pools. I got nice houses. I got, volleyball, soccer fields, basketball, it gets monotonous when you be on the farm. So you got to provide the employees with that you have a nice environment. So it's in any business it's people, but in the horse business it's more. Because you got to have people which love horses.
Yeah. What's still left for you to accomplish in this game? What are some of the goals that you still have?
Well, the thing to change the mentality or to lay a framework that racing can survive and thrive. That's what I'm aiming for, to maybe try to reach a lot of people, a lot of big horse owners, and say, look, you love it, your kids love it. But look, if we don't change the thing here, racing won't be around.
Yep.
This picture, you know, it's a little over $10 billion now to handle. If you take the number, 30, 40 years ago and was $15 billion, that's like $75 billion now. Where did all the money go? That's another thing. There's a lot of things siphoned off and offshore, and also we got to make sure that goes back to the track.
Yeah, well said. You know, it's interesting because your Gulfstream Park, every year the handle continues to grow, the attendance, I mean, everybody is coming to Gulfstream. That vision that you had for Gulfstream Park has come to fruition, and it's really been incredible, Frank. Is that the new model for horse racing?
It was the new model, but if I do it again, the next one we're going to build will be a little different.
How so?
Okay, but but we serve good food. It's a little more spacious. So we got a shopping mall up front. That the whole family could have an outing. I remember when my kids were small, they said, not again to the racetrack. But if you provide that, that the family could do things there as well, right? We gotta make some changes.
What would be different about?
And I'd like to talk about that, and I'd like to inspire. I'd like to remind people, look, this is such a great game. Horses provided such a great service to mankind. Where would we be without horses?
Yeah, well said.
Where would
well
the
said.
West world be?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
well
we
said.
Gotta. So it's just innovative, productive, inspiring way. Look, don't let that beautiful game. Don't let it go down the drain. So we have to change. And I think people would be willing because there's so many people which love the horses, even businessmen. But sometimes they're so wrapped up, right, in their daily business that you don't think what you should do. So it needs somebody. I'd like to get a few other major owners in and say, look, let's start a campaign, what we should do.
Yeah. Yeah. If you were to build another racetrack today, what would you do a little bit differently than what you did at Gulfstream?
We got to get younger people there, huh? We know racetrack is home to anyone, right? To the lowest of the low, to the richest of the, it's home to everyone. And that's great, and that's fine. That should be. But there's also some pretty rough language. So family, if they don't want to go on the thing. So you have to separate it a bit, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, sometimes you got first class in an airplane. What you mean, that's life. If you work hard, if you think you want to achieve things, right? So we got to make for young people, we got to give them their own corner, right? Or their own little area where they could dress up and meet young people. You know, it's better than in a nightclub.
Yep.
You know, yep. If they meet, there's a lot of young women which love horses. Wouldn't it be nice if they have a place and tell there's a lot of young guys there too. They also love horses. So we got to promote that.
Frank, when everything is said and done, and you yep. finally step away from the game in whatever fashion, how will the Frank Stronach legacy be defined with racing? How do you hope it's defined?
I guess on my tombstone, maybe one of those days, they would say, he made a great contribution to us racing, and he was a nice person.
Yeah, and a true love for the game, too. That's Frank Stronach here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Okay. Frank, one last question before I let you go. Finish this yes. sentence. Winning a fifth Queen's Plate this year would be what?
Well, we have one horse, but he isn't gone a distance yet, so it's a thing. The other horse got great breeding. It seems he wants to go a little further. But this is, look, sometimes I had a favorite and didn't wind down any place. Sometimes you have that's what makes racing so great, right? To win this time, I would have to be extra lucky.
Yeah, it would be special, though, to see it happen. And he's Frank
yeah.
Stronach.
Yeah,
it
would have been, the two houses we have, it seemed they have talent. One is late maturing, and the other one did not have enough races. So, but anyway, so we would have to be extra lucky.